My friends, as kids, we had ways of sealing the bond of friendship with our best friends. Remember? Boys would make a small cut in their finger and then mingle their blood with their buddies to signify the unbreakable bond between them as blood brothers. Usually, girls would exchange friendship rings, pledging their undying loyalty to each other. Though I heard last evening that sometimes girls would do the same as the boys in the cut in their finger and the mingling of blood. Am I right?
Yeah.
Or do you remember?
Yeah.
Many moons ago? Well, today our scriptures evoke the symbol of blood bonds. Bonds that can never be broken. Our first reading from the book of Exodus depicts the sealing of the covenant at Sinai. And in a very dramatic way, Moses sprinkles half the blood of the sacrificed animal on the altar and the other half on the people. For the ancient Israelites, life was in blood. No blood, no life. So blood then had a sacred or sacramental quality, especially the blood of an animal sacrificed to God. And if people came into contact with the blood of the altar, that meant they were one with the giver of life, who is God. And our gospel today is Mark's account of the Last Supper. As you heard, it begins with a picture of the preparations for the Passover meal, which recalls the blood of the Passover lamb being sprinkled on the doorposts of the Israelites to keep them safe from the plague in Egypt. And in the same way, Jesus' blood shed for us all reaffirms God's unbreakable bond with us. What Jesus says and does at the Last Supper is the culmination of his entire life, the pouring out of himself in love. In other words, Jesus' flesh and blood sustains, protects, and frees us as a people, who then embody for others Jesus' commitment of love and of service. And to continue the metaphor in today's world, we might say that God is transfusing his life into us, who are church. At the Last Supper, in the words over the cup, Jesus says that his blood will be shed for you and for many. Many doesn't mean that some are left out. Instead, it signifies totality, meaning all. Brothers and sisters, our coming to the table of the Eucharist week after week is more than just a reliving the memory of Jesus' great sacrifice for our redemption. In sharing his body in the bread of the Eucharist, we re-enter the inexplicable love of God, who gives us eternal life in his Son, the risen Christ. And in drinking his blood in the wine of the Eucharist, we take his life into the very core of our beings. My friends, the feast of the body and blood of Christ is our identity sacrament as Catholic Christians. Because the Eucharist is the heart and the summit of the Church's life and the source of unity. St. Augustine, who lived in the 5th century, said that when reflecting on the sacrament of Eucharist, be then what you see and receive what you are. It is the sacrament of yourselves that is placed on the Lord's altar. And it is a sacrament of yourselves that you receive. Because Jesus in Scripture and Jesus in the Eucharist cannot be separate. The Second Vatican Council said that we live from one table of God's Word and the body and blood of Christ. You know, there's a very interesting story that took place in the 1970s of Venerable Dorothy Day. inviting a young priest to celebrate Eucharist at the Catholic Worker House in New York. The priest asked Dorothy if she had a cup he could borrow. She found one in the kitchen and brought it to him. And he took that cup and used it to celebrate Mass. When it was over, Dorothy picked up the cup, found a small gardening tool, and went into the backyard. She knelt down, dug a hole, kissed the cup, and buried it in the earth. With that simple gesture, Dorothy Day showed that she understood something that so many of us don't. She knew that Christ was truly present in something as ordinary as a ceramic cup, and that it could never be just a coffee cup again. She understood the power and the reality of the Lord's presence in the Eucharist. Brothers and sisters, we gather on this holy day knowing that Jesus is present with us. We know that this bread and wine has new meaning because of how we use it. And we believe that it is Jesus that has given it new meaning, because Jesus told us to do this, to gather and to pray, and to share this bread and wine in memory of him. The Feast of the Body and Blood of Christ is a reminder of the connection that we have with the Lord Jesus. We are reminded not only that we receive the body of Christ in the Eucharist, but also that we are the body of Christ. It is not only the ritual of the receiving Eucharist that we celebrate, but also being Eucharist to one another. In John's Gospel, when he talks about Eucharist, he talks about at the very heart of the Eucharist is the fact that we wash each other's feet. That's Eucharist in John's Gospel. Thus, to remember Jesus in the Eucharist is to renew our identity as disciples and renew our attempts to put into practice the gospel values we professed when we were baptized. The Eucharist at its heart is meant to form us into a way of life whose essence lies in serving and dying for others to the end. My friends, when we labor for human rights, when we shelter the poor, when we dismantle bombs, when we protect the unborn, when we reach out to the criminal, when we welcome the immigrant and the refugee, we do these things not as political activists or social workers. We do them not as liberals or conservatives. We do them as people who worship the incarnate God, because the body and blood of Christ is not only our redemption, it is our call and our task. You know, some people sometimes become so concerned with the question of what happens to the bread and the wine, and ignore an equally important question. What happens to us when we receive the body and blood of Christ? Do we become Christ's living instruments of love and compassion and forgiveness and healing, living instruments of gentleness and patience, of hospitality, of peace, of justice, of unity and mercy? Brothers and sisters, Dorothy Day knew that an ordinary cup that contained the blood of Christ could never just be a cup again. Well, what's true for a ceramic cup is true for each of us. Once we have received Jesus, we can never, ever be the same again. So, my friends, let us be then what we see and receive what we are. In the Eucharist, Jesus remains with his church. Jesus is with us, and his presence is real. Amen.